Siyata Dishmaya, all right. Good moed. It's really great to see you guys again, to learn together. Mirtz Hashem, we should continue learning together. Siyata Dishmaya. Okay. I thought tonight to discuss the sugya of Heseba. Today, to discuss the sugya of Heseba. And start with a very famous yisod, and then analyze it from new Siyata Dishmaya, I think some new angles. The Rambam, in his description of the mitzvah of Seba, writes in Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav. And we're going to see that Reb Chaim pointed out that if you start reading the Rambam from Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, you'll really miss the essence of the beauty of the Rambam structure. But we're dafka going to start this way. The Rambam describes, V'chol dar v'dar chayiv adam laharois es atzma kiilu hu be'atzma yotza ato mi'shibu mitzrayim, sh'nemar v'aysanu hoitzi misham. Mirtz Hashem in the Machshava will point out that this Rambam is remarkable. It's not often that, and you've heard this before, that in Yahadus that there's a requirement to visualize yourself as if you mamish went out of Mitzrayim. By the way, the Brisker Rav points out that the Lashon in our Haggadah is really strange. He quotes already that there were those who said that there was a mistake in our Haggadah, because in our Haggadah, right before the first Hallel, it says, V'noimar lefanav shira chadasha halleluka, over there, so V'noimar in grammatically means we will say, V'noimar lefanav shira chadasha, we will say to you a song. And the question is that already Taisus towards the end of Arvei Pesachim points out that it's called shira chadasha, not shir chadash, because the reason why it's called a Shira Chadasha, Taisus points this out in Kuf Tezayin Amabez Narvei Pesachim, is because what we're singing is going out of Mitzrayim. And if we're singing about going out of Mitzrayim was a feminine song, not a Shir Chadash. What's the difference, Taisus explains, between a Shira Chadash and a Shir Chadash? Taisus says that when a father has a child, it's all fun and games for him. He's all happy. He didn't have to go through any of the pain. It's perfect. There's no tsar whatsoever. However, Taisus points out, when a woman goes through that same experience, for her it's painful. So there is a dual component to it. So when it comes to the Shira of Mitzrayim, so there is Shira Chadasha in the feminine form. And therefore, Taisus says, that's why the correct Lashon is Shira Chadasha, not Shir Chadash, because only the Geula Asida will be without pain. Even in Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was pain. Four-fifths didn't go out of Mitzrayim. There were many trials and tribulations. So Taisus says that's why it's not going to be Shir Chadash, but rather Shir Chadash. So the Achronim point out that there's a mistake in our Haggadah. Our Haggadah, what's the vowelization? It's V'noimar Lefanav. Shva, on the Nun, is a Cholam, and then under the Mem is a Patach. V'noimar Lefanav Shir Chadash. So some point out that it's a mistake. It should say, V'ne'emar, we said to you in the past, not in the future. So Brisker Rav says amazingly, he says, based on this Rambam, in Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, you have an explanation to the Digduk. The Digduk is correct. It's not a mistake in our Haggadah. Why? Because we just visualized ourselves as if we went out of Mitzrayim. My brother Shlita started a beautiful custom in our family, that before we say, B'chol dar v'dar chayav adam l'eres esatzna kilu yatsami Mitzrayim, he stops for 3 minutes and there's quiet. There's quiet by the table. And we try to visualize ourselves as if we're going out of Mitzrayim. Because we're mamish going out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, what's the answer to the question? The answer to why it says v'noimar and not v'nemar is because we're about to say the Hallel as if we went out of Mitzrayim. It's not that we're repeating the Hallel that was once said, v'nemar lefanu shir chadasha, but rather v'noimar in the future. It's not talking about the song of Mashiach. It's talking about the song of Mitzrayim. But we just, mamish, went out of Mitzrayim. And that's why I started off saying that this Rambam is unique. It's remarkable. Because this whole requirement in Halacha, we hardly ever have that. For the same reason, the Ran writes that when it comes to the Hallel of Lel Pesach, there's no bracha, because it's not Asher Kitshonim and Tzvaisa Vitzivanu. It's not that we're saying hallel because we are commanded, but rather the Ran writes that it's a hallel shel shira. It's a hallel as if we're breaking out in song. And there you don't say vitzivan. We're mamish experiencing as if we had gone out of Mitzrayim. Okay, that was a tangential machshava that comes out of this Rambam. I want to zero in on the Rambam's lashon in the next halacha. The Rambam continues in halacha zayin. L'fichach kishesayid adam b'layla hazeh tzarech lecho v'lishtois v'humesev derecherus. Person needs to eat and drink and recline as if he's experiencing cherus. We call echad ve'echad bein anoshim bein noshim chayiv lishtos b'layla hazeh arba kosu shel yayin. And the Rambam uniquely brings down the din of cherus over here when it comes to the four cups of wine. And then he says in halacha ches, so we're going to focus on this from the lashon of the Mishnah. Eventually, the Rambam says, "Afilu anisha b'Yisrael lo ye'ochel ad she'yesev." Even a poor person should not eat until he entirely reclines. Now, there are a few diukim. This was sent around in the copies that you have on the WhatsApp. There are a few diukim that the Brisker Rav, another Brisker Rav, the first Brisker Rav I was quoting from was the Brisker Rav in the Brisker Haggadah. This that I'm quoting from is the Brisker Rav in the Sefer, a very famous piece. I'm starting with you right now, is very, very well known. That the Brisker Rav was medayek, that the Rambam has two unique characteristics over here in describing the Heseba. Number one is what is not mentioned in the Rambam. Both points really are what the Rambam doesn't say, and then we will put it in the context of the Chol Dovar Darchayiv Adam L'Rishus Atzmo. The Rush, and we pask in this way, the halacha says that if someone eats matzah and he doesn't do a seba, then he should eat matzah again. And we pask in this way, the halacha, if one forgets to do a seba, you're supposed to do a seba again. But interestingly, when the Rambam describes a seba, the Rambam doesn't mention that at all. That's the first omission in the Rambam. The second omission in the Rambam is that the Rambam, when he describes the requirement of Heseba, the Rambam says as follows in Halacha Ches. Ve'emasai tzrichen Heseba, b'shas achilas kezayis matzah, u'b'shtiyas arba kosas ha'elu. U'b'shtiyas arba kosas, u'shar achilas u'b'shtiyas, u'mhesev, hareze meshubach, v'imlav eino tzarech. The Rambam says, when do you do a seba? Really, the Rambam says you're supposed to do it all the time. He says, both for achilas matzah and arba kosos, and it's hareza meshubach even the rest of the time that you're eating. The Rambam doesn't tell us that you need to repeat if you don't do a seba, eat matzah again. And the Rambam says, it's not only about matzah, it's not only about the arba kosos. He says, Hareza Meshubach on the entire Maisa Achila. So, what's the Machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam? So the Brisker Rav famously explains that the Machlokas is a fundamental Chakira about the requirement of Haseba. And we're going to see, Rabosai, that even though at first glance this is already behind us, I'd like to suggest that this is very much connected to our Avoda for the rest of Pesach and our Avoda for the rest of the year. The Brisker Rav suggests that the machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam is as follows. Is the din of Heseba a component of the halacha of achilas matzah or dalet kosos? In other words, when it comes to achilas matzah and dalet kosos, part of the mitzvah, there's a discussion in the Achronim that we won't get involved with whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, but part of the mitzvah is that when you eat them, so then you're supposed to do it derech haseba. It becomes a chelek in the mitzvah. And it makes a lot of sense because we know that matzah has themes of cherus. Certainly, yayin has themes of cherus. So that becomes part of the mitzvah. The Rosh, who doesn't mention this hareza meshubach, u'shar achilas u'shtiyasa meisav hareza meshubach, so he's assuming that it's all part of the maisa mitzvah. And therefore, if you didn't recline when you did matzah and when you did dalet kosos, so then in such a case, you have to go back because it's a chisaron in the mitzvah, whether it's d'oraisa or whether it's d'rabbanan. There was a chisaron in the mitzvah. That's the position of the Rush. However, the Rambam holds no. The Rambam holds that the din of Eseba has nothing to do with yayin or matzah per se. The most important achilos on the night of Pesach is the most important achilah is matzah. The most important shtiyah is yayin. So that's where you don't even have a din of areizah meshubach. That's where it's a din mamish lechatchila. It's not simply a din of mahadrin. But the entire night, if you can, for a soup, it's very, very difficult to do a seiba. But if you can, for everything else, you should do a seiba. Why? Because the Rambam holds that the din of a seiba is not a function, a kiyum, in the mitzvah of matzah or yayin midrabanan, but rather becomes a chelek of that mitzvah. The Rambam holds that the chelek, rephrase that, the Rambam holds that the expression of a seiba is chelek. That when a person is eating on Lel Pesach, then he's supposed to show cheres. How does he do that? He does that through Heseba. He does it through the process of Heseba. The Rush holds no. The Rush holds that it becomes an integral part of the mitzvah of matzah and yayin. The nafkamina is if you miss it. If you forgot to do Heseba. If you forgot to do Heseba according to the Rush, then there was something missing from the Maisa Mitzvah. According to the Rambam, there was nothing missing from the Maisa Mitzvah. And therefore, you go on. You the next time you eat or drink, you attempt to do it b'derech heseba. Now, I'd like to add that, and the Brisker Rav Kamat says this, that the context of the Rambam really, really fits into this pshat. This is not only, the Vort is not just one that there's a nafkamina, that the Rambam didn't say that you have to repeat. And the Rush that said you did, the whole context of the Rambam's bringing down the din of a seba. Notice there's one extra word over here in the Rambam, Perek Zayin, Alech Zayin. Lefichach, kish esoed adam balayla. Lefichach, what's lefichach going on? What's the previous halacha? Chayiv adam laharis asmo kihilu yatsami mitzrayim. That we're supposed to show that we were eved v'yotza l'cheirus v'niftes, that we went out to cheirus and we were redeemed. L'fichach, kishisah edadam balayla. The Rambam says that's why we do a seva. It's not a function of the din of matzah or yayin, but rather it's an entirely different thing. Rather, it's a kiyum bifnei atzmo of showing cheirus. So this was a beautiful, beautiful brisker rav. It's muchrach in the Rambam, this pshat. Matov v'manoyim, the pshat is beautiful. Yes, Moshe?
How are the other shittim, not the Rambam, that says it's part of matzah?
Right.
Kosos,
right.
So how will you deal with the Gemara that indicates that it is based on Geula? Isn't the Gemara in the Kofas saying that either the first two kosos show the Geula?
Oh, we're going to get to that Gemara. Very good. We're going to get to that Gemara. I was mesupak whether to do the Gemara, now you decide for me. Okay, we're going to get to that Gemara. All right. He'll apologize to you afterwards if it went longer than 45 minutes. Okay. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at, here was my, this year, every time, you know, you experience these sugyas again, there's always a new experience. So in our night kola, we were learning Arvei Pesachim. Reb Binyamin says the Bekiya Shir in Arvei Pesachim. So, In one of the chaburas we discussed a tosis that I never really stopped at before. You know what? I'm not sure if I shared it with the chevra on Sadi Tesa Mebez. If I could ask you just to share with the Mishnah says Vafilu Anisha Bisrael Lo Yesev Ad Sheyocha. The Mishnah says that even someone who's poor should not do eat until he does a seva. Now the question is, what exactly is that word va'afilu? What's the word va'afilu coming to teach us? Va'afilu anisha bisrael ochel ad sheyesev. So here there's a machlokes rishayim. It's a beautiful machlokes in pshat. I always like to emphasize the pshat. Let's take a look at the pshat. Let's read the Mishnah carefully. Arvei Pesachim samach lemincha. This, of course, was very much relevant to us this year, what we're supposed to do Erev Pesach on Shabbos. Arvei Pesachim samach lemincha lo ye'achel, Adam, a person shouldn't eat, ad she'techshach. And then the Mishnah says, afilu anisha b'Yisrael lo ye'achel ad she'yaseh. Even a poor person should not eat until he does a seva. Now you help me out over here. What's the chidush of the Mishnah? What's the Mishnah adding when the Mishnah is saying anisha b'Yisrael? What's the Mishnah adding? It says, even a poor person shouldn't eat until he does a seva. There are very different ways you could read it. Any way that you're going to suggest will probably be right. Suggest a pshat. What does it mean, even an ani could eat? Can't eat until a seva. What's the Mishnah adding? How would you read this Mishnah?
Well,
Yeah.
Perhaps the mission takes it for granted that a person says, Julio Father Alto Pasha, so it's meaning positive that a person reclines, and he only is able to eat Achatasha after it gets dark, but it's positive that he doesn't say it.
Okay. Very good. Oh, very good. So the first suggestion is that the Mishnah's Chiddush is that even a poor person has to do a Seba. Very interesting. Even a poor person has to do a Seba. Afilu Ansha Bisrael Lo Yachel Ad Sheyaseiv. Even a poor person should not eat until he does a Seba. What, excellent. What else?
Could you maybe saying that it's until it gets dark, that an Ani even has to wait until it gets dark?
Exactly. There's another way of reading the Mishnah. Afilu ani sheb Yisrael lo yeachel ad sheyaseiv. Even a poor person should not eat. In other words, I would have had a havanina that this halacha that you're not supposed to eat until techshach only applies for some reason to an ashir, but an ani that doesn't apply to. Why would it not apply to an ani? Because an ani doesn't eat a lot anyhow. So these are two different ways of reading the Mishnah. I had a fantastic Rebbe, Yishev Refuah Shleima of Braunschweig, who's a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. He would emphasize, and this is how I like to learn with Talmidim, he would emphasize that all the Lamdus is beautiful and it's really, really important for Chulei, but it always has to start with really reading the Daf carefully. The Daf that's in front of you, Gemara Rashi Tosfos. So I only started with that briskurav because it was Chol Hamoed, gave ourselves a treat. But normally the way we always have to start is to read the words of the Mishnah, the Rashi, and Tosis really, really, really well before we go to the other Rishonim, and certainly before we go to the Lamdus, especially at your age. Mirtz Hashem, you're going to be learning for another 20, 30 years. It's no kasha that Rav Shechter Shlita doesn't start that way, because he's been learning for Bli Ayin Hara for 70 years, you know? So that's, but for yourselves, to learn how to learn, you have to really, really start. You have to really start reading the Gemara Rashi Tosis really, really well. And it's not only in high school, it's even in Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, Shana Gimel. Even at that stage, one should be really working on reading the Mishnah well. Okay, so that's a good way of reading the Mishnah. Filu ani sheb Yisrael lo yeachel ad sheyesev. Even ani sheb Yisrael. Okay. What's the chiddush? Either that the ani is supposed to is also included as seba. That was our first possibility. Or the other possibility is that the ani, even he has the isser of achila. Okay. Let's take a look at Taisus. Vafilu ani sheb Yisrael lo yeachel ad sheyesev. The Salka Daitach, Taisus is bothered that there's an extra word in the Mishnah. What's Taisus bothered by? The word Va'afilu. What's Va'afilu? The Salka Daitach, I would have had a Havamina, says Taisus, Da Sebas Ani Loi Chashiva Seba. It's not considered a Seba. The Ain Lo Al Ma Lo Hasef. He doesn't have that which to do a Seba on. The Ain Zed Derecherus. Taisa says he doesn't have that which to do Haseba on. What does it mean he doesn't have? How would you learn, Taisa? What does it mean that he doesn't have that which to do Haseba on? Yeah? Okay, good. You're already saying a lambda shavart, which I actually like. But Taisa says, ain lo. Taisa says, he doesn't have. Ain lo. What does it mean he doesn't have? He doesn't have a couch. Right. I wonder, this is for you to work on in the next couple of days, and leave me a voice message. I wonder how this relates to Rashi and the Bach's Tikkun of Rashi. Rashi says, Afilu ani sheb Yisrael lo yeachel b'leil ha-psachim ad sheyaseiv. Now the gears that we have in front of us is kederech b'nei chorin, like the way b'nei chorin lean, zecher l'cheirus b'mita v'ala sholchan. And the Bach says, "Kederech bnei chorin b'mita va'ala shulchan zecher lecheirus." B'mita va'ala shulchan. In other words, I think you're right. I think the Rashi is saying. The question is, according to Rashi, whether he doesn't. And Rashi sounds like he does have a bed. But at the end of the day, according to Tosa, so Rashi and Mesupik, for a few times I've been Mesupik exactly what Rashi, how Rashi is learning. But according to Tosos, it's clear the Elo Amalaha, say if he doesn't have the Ein Zederech Cheirus. So Tosos is learning that we would have a Hava Amina. The first shot is Afil Ani Shavisol LaYachal At Sheyasev, means that we would have a Hava Amina that the Ani should not do Heseva. Okay, we will analyze more shortly. Tosos continues V'yesh Mefarshim. There's some who learn Da'adle Ilkoi. That was our second shot, I think. Ad shetechshach. Vafilu means ad shetechshach. Vafilu ani shevisol pirush ani. Shelo achal kama yamim. Even an ani, Tais says a little bit differently than we had said. He said an ani who hasn't eaten for a while. So I would think that maybe we should be mekel on him. Lo yecha ad shetechshach. He shouldn't eat until it's dark. On Shabbos HaGadol, I'm not going to repeat what we did Shabbos HaGadol. We discussed that the Rambam writes, the chachamim harishonim hayu mar'even es atzman. They starved themselves on Erev Pesach. Very, very interesting lashon. So here we also describe an ani that ein lo malechol kamiyam. Nevertheless, I would have a havamina there should, for someone who didn't eat for a few days, then maybe he would be an exception. Kamash malon, he's not included in that exception. Let's continue on pshat before we get to lamdus. Let's continue doing good pshat. What is the advantage and disadvantage of these two pshatim? When the Mishnah says, Afilu ani shevisol lo yachal at sheyaseh, what's more mashma? The first pshat, that the chiddush is that the ani should do a seiba, or the second pshat that the chiddush is that the ani should eat? What would you say in pshat, yeah?
I'd say the first one.
Why?
Because I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure the Gemara...
It's okay to be wrong. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the Gemara Bracha says that the shavshe ani nechnas lachol pita b'melach is a later time than a normal person eats.
Okay.
So if a normal person is only eating atchitachach, then the ani is eating later than that.
Okay, and therefore?
And that's pasha. We wouldn't think that the ani would actually eat earlier.
Ah, but what if an ani is fasting? Then maybe in such a case, maybe if the ani managed to eat for 2 days, maybe. I was looking for something in the words before. I like your tushel from Beis and Beis and Brachas. That's beautiful. Just in the words itself, staying in the words. The Vafilu Ani Shevisol Le'achal Ad Sheyasev. According to the first pshat, Ad Sheyasev makes a lot of sense. Ad Sheyasev. Even an Ani has to do a Seva. I would have thought he shouldn't do a Seva. Kamash Malan, Ad Sheyasev, even if he does a Seva. According to the second pshat, how are you going to have to read those words, Ad Sheyasev? You'll have to read those words, Ad Sheyasev, as Ad Sheyocha. Even an Ani Yisrael shouldn't eat, Ad Sheyasev, Ad Sheyochal B'Seudas Pesach, until he gets to Seudas Pesach. In other words, the words, Ad Sheyasev, is less meduyak, l'chura, according to the second pshat, than it is the first pshat. Why the emphasis Ad Sheyasev? It should say Ad Sheyochal Matzah. The Mishnah should say Ad Sheyochal Matzah. Okay, when I was teaching Shana Bet, I used to scream at the guys, and I used to say, at this point, I would start screaming at the guys and say, if you didn't notice this, clearly you have fantastic ideas, but Rabbi Brashi used to say that if you didn't stop at this, you didn't make a good Lamda Shalaining. I can't scream at you because I didn't ask you to make a Lamda Shalaining. But these are the questions I want you to ask before we even get to alumnus, to be able to account for every word. Which word works better according to this pshat? Which word in the Mishnah? Which word works better from this pshat? All of the great lamdanim, we just mentioned the Brisker Rav, all of them, all of their lamdos all start not with simply conceptual ideas. All their lamdos started with really reading the words well. Really reading the words well. Okay, so this is the Dion in the Tosis. Okay. Now comes along the Rash Mishans. Now let's start a little bit of comparing and contrasting conceptually the Rishonim. Yeah.
You can also say that the first part of the Mishnah works better with the first Pshat.
Good.
Right.
So why
are we pointing that out if the whole point is
what's the theme? Very nice. The Maila of the second Pshat is that thematically there's a connection between the opening line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the Yisrael Achila and Erev Pesach. Vafilu Ani Sheb Yisrael. Notice, it doesn't say Vafilu. Afilu ani shevisol yachlat shiyesev. So the second part of the Mishnah follows very smoothly that it's continuing. That not only is there isser achila for most people, even the ani. By the way, the first child answer, there is no vav va'afilu. It just says afilu. I had a Freudian slip. I said va'afilu, right? So that was, I was trying to point out that there's a very deep connection. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah just says afilu. So you're right. Thematically, it's one topic, according to the second pshat. And according to the first pshat, you're going to have to say that there are two different themes. And that would be a chisaron. So each pshat, that's great. We came out that each pshat has a mailon pshat. Each explanation has a mailon pshat and a chisaronim pshat. The mailon pshat of the first one that emphasizes Heseba, it really fits very nicely with Echalat Sheyasev. The advantage of the second pshat is that, as you pointed out correctly, that it's one theme. Now, go ahead.
I think it's interesting if you focus on the Ad Shetesha pshat, then it sounds like Ad Sheyasev is really introduced by Ani. It's like people can't eat like Stam until Ad Shetesha. And then the Ani, I feel Ani, Ad Sheyasev, it's like the Sheyasev is really introduced by an Ani.
Right, very good. In other words, it's not so parallel. Why would it say Atche Yesev? Excellent point. In other words, the Reish is asering a person, a regular person, Atche Techshach. So by Ani also it should be Atche Techshach. In contrast to the first pshat, we understand why it says Atche Yesev. You're extending what we had said about the Maila. Beautiful. Okay. Very good. So that's really, really important. I always say that every single diyun in halacha is always a diyun in both pshat and lamdas. There isn't a single machlokas in the world that's not a machlokas in pshat and a machlokas in lamdas. Whenever you're learning something up, you have to explain what's Abai and Rava arguing in pshat about how to read this line in the Mishnah? What's the Tosis and the Rambam arguing about pshat about how to read this line in the Gemara? What's the Achiezer and Reb Chaim arguing about this pshat, about how to read this line in the Rambam? There's something in pshat that they're arguing about, and there's a machlokas in svar. There isn't a single, and I think it's a klal gadol in learning. You always have to, I find that sometimes people tend to emphasize one, and sometimes emphasize the other. But to really do both well, that's not easy. Okay? All right, so beautiful. That's Afilan Shev Sol Yachal Ad Sheyasev. Comes along with Taisis HaRash Mishans. And he says something striking. The Rash Mishans in Divar HaMaskel Afinu Ani Shebiyisrael says as follows. V'teima Mai Afilu Shaykh Kan V'chi En Yochol Lechol Ani Be'aseba Kamo Ashir. Asks the Rash Mishans, what's the Hava mean over here? Why would we ever think that an Ani can't do Aseba like an Ashir? That's his kasha. And therefore, he rejects the first pshat. Zok de Rash Mishans, v'nira adil ilkoi. It's going back. Lo yachat shetechsha, afil an shev Yisrael, shelo yachal kami yom, shelo yelo ma lechol, eno shay lechol ad shetechsha, elo yachal ad sheyasev, v'lo yachal elo ad sheyasev. So ultimately, the Rash Mishans rejects the first pshat, and he learns like the second Pshatatosis. But we're going to focus on his rejection. What does he say? He says that why in the world would you think an Ani is any different than an Ashir? Okay, so how did we learn? Why did we think that Ani was different than an Ashir? How did we learn Tosis? I think it's correct, the Pshat that was given. That Tosis had emphasized, I told you I want you to work on Rashi, how Rashi seems to explain it. But Tosis is clear. Tosis says that he doesn't have the right contraptions. They say my great-grandfather had this custom. I heard about it as a kid, and only later I heard my great-grandfather did this. And in Europe, it was common to mamish bring the bed to the table, and they called it a hesabet. Bet is in Yiddish bed. They put together haseba and bet. They just ran into one word. It became a Yiddish word. Hesabet. Hesabet means the bed that they would do. They do Heseba on. So we learned that Tosa says that he doesn't have that type of Hesabet. He doesn't have that. The Ani who's so poor, he doesn't have it. But the Rash Mishan says that's ridiculous. Okay. So now we've done well in Pshat. Now we're ready to go to Lamdus. So let's see. What's Tosfos going to say back to Rash? Very simply. He's going to say he doesn't have it. What's a Rash Mishan's going to say back to Tosfos? Very good. At L'chura. There are two ways to learn. I have to be honest. You could learn some Machlokas and Metzius. The Tosfos said that there are Aniyim that didn't have the Hesed Bet, and the Rash Mishans assumes that they do. But that's hard to say it's a Machlokas and Metzius. L'chura, there's something deeper that's going on. The Tosfos assuming that there's a certain context that the Ani is, which doesn't connect to Cheirus, and the Rashba can't imagine that. He can't imagine why an Ani can't do Haseva. In other words, if all he has is a Keter chair, he turns the Keter chair on its side and he leans. If God forbid he doesn't even have a chair, he sits on the floor and he finds a wall to lean against. Rabbi Braunschweigel used to told us that he was a child survivor of the Holocaust. He's a couple years older than Rav Schechter. They were roommates together in yeshiva. Remind me afterwards, I'll tell you a beautiful story that I heard from both of them. He says he remembers his mother baking tiny matzahs on Chanukah, around Chanukah time, and sewing them into their clothing to be able to have for Pesach. He says most of his memories as a child in the camps, they were quote-unquote lucky. They weren't in death camps. They were just in the concentration camps. Just meant that he had a family, that both his mother and father survived the war, but there were four children that didn't make it. He and two others survived. And so, but he says most of his memories of their time at that, he was about 3, 4, 5 years old, he said, were his parents Mesiris Nefesh for mitzvahs. And he would go through every Yom Tov and describe how they kept every Yom Tov. So he said Pesach, what they did was they baked matzahs 5, 6 months in advance. They sewed that into their garments. So they were Mekayim, and they were Mekayim HaSeva. How were they Mekayim HaSeva? They found a corner in the barrack, and they leaned, and they were Mekayim HaSeva. That's the koach of Yadus. So what does the Rashba mean when the Rashba says you can't do it? What does Tosfos mean that you can't do it? Ein lo, you can't do it. And the Rashba says, no, of course he can. So the Chura, the machlokas between the Rash Mishans and Tosfos is as follows. The Chura, they're arguing about whether Haseba is relevant if all of the other conditions contradict the phenomenon of Cheirus. Could a Jew in the concentration camps, if you will, do Haseba or not? The Rash Mishans says absolutely. Tosfos says the whole context of Haseba is one that's showing Cheirus. If everything else that's going on around him contradicts Cheirus, so then he's Pater from Haseba. He's an Onus. Onus Rachmana Pater. He's supposed to do our Ishtadlus to do a Cheirus. But if God forbid we're not in that situation, we're going to be Pater. Chevra's masking with me. That Lechura sounds like the Machlokas between the Rash Mishans. Tosfos says, Ein loy, says the Rash Mishans. Again, his lashon afil maya afilu shaychan v'chi ein yochel lechol ani beseva kamo asher. Of course, he could do a seva. Tosfos says no. The context is what's missing. Again, you could learn some machlokas and mitzvahs, but pashtus, that's not what's going on. Oh, so I was thinking, Rebbe Osei, that this machlokas, this was my addition to Olam HaTorah three weeks ago. That I wanted to say that this machlokas between the Tosfos and the Tosfos Rash Mishans is our previous Chakira. Anybody want to finish off? In other words, is Haseba a din klali of Cheirus? We saw in the Rambam that on the night of Pesach, you're supposed to eat Haseba, you're supposed to be in Cheirus. Or is it an integral part of the mitzvah of Matzah and Yayin? No, can anybody finish off? How would this be Tali Zebazet? I think it goes like this. If you say that when it comes to Heseba, Heseba is a din in the matzah and is a din in the yayin. Whoever eats matzah and yayin, a chelek of mitzvahs, matzah and yayin is Heseba. So an ani is bevadai chayiv in matzah and yayin like an ashir. Of course. Frek the Rashmi chance. V'chiyen yochol lechol ani be'aseba kamo ashir? To go a little deeper, Tosis would say, of course, he can't eat like an ashir. So what was the Rashmi chance thinking? The answer is that the Rashmi chance is saying that if he's chayiv in matzah, he's chayiv in aseba. Why? Because the chelek of the mitzvah of matzah is aseba. That's what the Rashmi chance is assuming. Taisus, how did Tosis have the gall, as the Rashmi Shantz asked, to take the mitzvah of Aseba away from the Ani? If it's part of the mitzvah of Matzah, you can't take it away from the Ani. The answer is that the mitzvah of Aseba is not part of mitzvah's Matzah or his mitzvah Yayin, but rather, as we read in the Holy Rambam, as the Rambam described, the mitzvah over here is, l'fichach, is an extension of the din of cheirus. But that's, and it's a din klali in that night. If it's a din klali on that night, so then anybody who's capable of showing that cheirus, if he can, he's supposed to. And that's going to be the shita of Tosos. That Tosos is going to learn like the Rambam, that the din of Heseba is not integral to the mitzvah of matzah. Then it's negotiable if it's shayach to an ani as opposed to an usher. But God forbid to take away from the ani the same mitzvah matzah that you get that the usher has. It can't be. That's the Rashmi Shantz's shita. You can't take it away. Tosos, it's possible that the pshat in Tosos is that he holds it is negotiable. Why is it negotiable? Because it's not part of mitzvah matzah. If it's not part of mitzvah matzah, then it's connected to the broader context. Gishmak. So I was misameach with this pshat until Pesach morning. Pesach morning, I tried to test the limits of this pshat. And then I started thinking, but wait, I had this in my notes. And then Pesach morning, I said, wait a second, but it might not be true. There's a famous Ramah. The Ramah that says, Noshim shalonu chashuvos hein. That our women are chashuvos, and therefore they do haseba. Interesting, the Rambam said both Ish and Isha do Aseba, but the Ramah already quotes those who says and Isha doesn't do Aseba. What's the source of that Ramah? So we have to take another picture. I forgot to share that as well. The source of that Ramah is a Mordechi. The Mordechi on Lamed Hey Amid Beis. There we go. The Mordechi, just that second column. Yeah. So the Mordechi on Lamed Hey Amid Beis says like this. The Mordechi says that when it comes to Noshim, so he says, it depends. There are women who can recline, and if they're chashuvos, and they should recline. But the Mordechi also paskins, he's the source of the, he also paskins that if you eat matzah without Heseba, then you have to do Heseba again. Now, according to our pshat, I would have expected that the din, let's say in those days there were some cultures that the women didn't even come into the dining room. The women stayed in the kitchen. So Ramah says that's not our days. But the women stayed in the kitchen. So in those days, it wasn't common for women to do Heseba. It was only men who did Heseba. So then in such a case, those women are Pturos. That's what the Mordechi writes. Because it's not normal for them to do Heseba. So who's the Mordechi closer to in terms of understanding that Heseba is not integral to Maisa Mitzvah of Matzah? Yet the same Mordechi says that the halacha is that if you did not do Heseba, you've got to repeat. So we had it broken up in the following direction. that the one who emphasizes the type of person and the context they hold, it's not a din in the matzah. And the ones who say that it's dependent on the type of the one who says that's dependent on the type of person, it's not a din in matzah. The one who holds that everybody is chayiv, it is a din in matzah. The Mordechai says it depends on the type of person, yet he says that you have to repeat. So first of all, what's pshat in the Mordechai? Mamanu shach, before we even go on with putting back all the pieces together. We have a little bit of Humpty Dumpty now, because our binary structure has fallen apart. What is going to be the pshat in the Mordechai? Again, the Mordechai says that if you didn't do matzah with haseba, you got to do again. Yet, he differentiates between the type of person. So the pshat must be in the Mordechai, yeah?
Isn't that just a pshat? Isn't that a problem with the Gemara?
Why?
Isn't the Gemara say that if it's hashuva or not hashuva, that depends
on you? Oh, very good. In other words, you're right. The Gemara itself... Right, the Mordechai is famous because the Mordechai says that Aronash Shomar Chashuvas. Right, so Elamai, excellent. So what is the Pshat? Valid point. The reason I'm using Mordechai is because Mordechai is Mefurish on both, spells out both points. The Pshat must be that a person that is not Ro'i LeHaseiba, it's not called Haseiba. It's a joke. An entirely different Pshat than what we said up until now. In other words, Haseiba for someone that's not normal to do Haseiba is not a Maisa Haseiba. It's not the pshat that it just doesn't reflect the same type of Cheiros. It's not called a Haseiba at all. For someone who it's not normal for them to do Haseiba, they're an Ones, they can't do Haseiba. For someone who's not capable, who the context is not right, then they're mufka from Haseiba. And therefore, even according to the Rosh, of course, someone who it's not normal for them to do Haseiba, so then in such a case, that is not considered a Maisa Haseiba at all. It's not going to be considered a Haseiba at all. Im kenim advarim. So now everything is beautiful. Even according to the Rosh, there's a hava mina that an ani would be pater from a seiba, because I would have thought that an ani should be like an isha that whose derech is never to do a seiba. Ani is different. Look, at the end of the day, an ani could become an usher tomorrow, and an usher could become an ani tomorrow as well. So they're not as mufka from a seiba. But in those days, not today, but in those days, it wasn't normal at all. They were mufka from a seiba. So then, in such a case, then the halacha would differentiate between the two. In Kenim Advarim, so then the Briska Rav would learn that this halacha, that an Isha might be potter from a Seba, is not the pshat, according to the Rosh, is not the pshat that it's not her derech to do cheres. It's because it's not even called Haseba altogether. It's not going to be called Haseba at all. So if that's so, my shtickle Torah falls away. The Tosis, and Machlokes between Tosis and Tosis Rash Mishans is not totally in the above Chakira. The above Chakira is 100% legitimate. In other words, the Machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. But to say that it's totally in the Machlokes, Rash Mishans and Tosis, it seems is not correct. The Hainu, that the Hava Mina, according to Tosis, was not that Ani is the Derech sometimes to do Cheres and sometimes not. And therefore, you could say that if it's a dependent on derech, maybe the ani would be pater, but rather no. When it comes to ani, the havamina is that it's mufka from Haseba. Kamash Milan, that he's not mufka from Haseba. And the Rashmi Shans and Tosis are not arguing about the above question. Beautiful. Okay. That was... sometimes a Melis Vatora is not just coming away with a pshat that's the final pshat, but even working through... The Hava Mina is extremely, extremely important. Fine. One more point. One more Gishmak Alamdisha point on the Sugya that I wanted to share with you is the Gemara that you mentioned on Kuf Ches. The Gemara has a fascinating Shailam of Kuf Ches Amin Aleph in regards to Haseba on the Dalit Kosas. But let's take a look at that Gemara. I think that might be, you might have been a ray photocopy for you. Yayin. Itmar Mishmeid Rav Nachman, halfway through Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Tzarech HaSeiba. V'itmar Mishmeid Rav Nachman, ein Tzarech HaSeiba. V'lo pligi. Ha-betarti kosi kamoi, ha-betarti kosi basroi. So there's a machlokis of whether you need HaSeiba on the Dalet Kosos, or a stira within Rav Nachman. And the Gemara says it was no stira. There's a difference between the first two kosos and the last two kosos. Amri lo lahai gisa v'amri lo lahai gisa. Some said Rav Nachman this way, and some say that way. So explains the Gemara. Amri lo lahai gisa trei kosa kamoi boi seba. Tahashtuhu dekambat maschalu lacheris. Trei kosa basroi lo boi seba mai dehavi havi. Some say it's the first two cups that need a seba because the cheris begin in the beginning. It started in the beginning. The Amri lo lahai gisa. Others say the opposite. Adarabba trei kaiser basroi boi seba. Ahi shaita dehavi kavi cheris. Trei kaiser kamoi lo boi seba dekati avodim mayinu. When we're up to the second coast, we're still in avodim mayinu. So then that would not require haseba. So the Gemara has a fascinating yesod, and that is everybody agrees that all four kosos don't need a seba. Rather, there was a machlokis, which two kosos need a seba? Rav Nachman says the first two, some say Rav Nachman said the first one, some say Rav Nachman said the last two. Okay. So, how do we paskin? Says the Gemara. Hashta ditmar hachi vitmar hachi. Gemara says black and white. Idi v'idi boa seba. Now that we say that there are some who say, quote Rav Nachman this way, some who quote Rav Nachman that way, we say you need to do a seba on all. Okay, so the halacha, we're required to do haseba on all dalet kosos. There's a famous, beautiful ran on this that I think was also already sent out to you. The ran asks a very basic question. This is a very famous ran because this is a shas ran. The ran, this is, everybody should know this because this comes up in many sugyas and shas. So the Ran asks like this. The Ran asks on in the old edition, Staff Kav Gimel, Amid Alf Dibar Maskel Vahashta. He says, wait a second. Dalet Kosos Rabosai, is it the Rabbanon or the Raisa? The answer is, it's the Rabbanon. So we normally say, Safik the Rabbanon Lekula. So why over here does the Ran say they have to recline on all four? Take a look at this ran. Dibar Maskel Vahashta. Va'afagav de ba'alma kaimlan ipcha de kol savik de rabbanon l'kula. Even though in general we say savik de rabbanon l'kula. Hacha. Kivan de la milsa de tirchu avdin l'rafcha milsa. He says that some Rishonim say it's easy to do. All four. So just do all four. It's a little bit difficult because it really didn't answer the question. V'nira, v'linira, dal karcha, says the ran. Boi l'mevet be'aseba b'kula. Dineza lakula amai nekel bahani tve mehani. Vinekel betarvaywa me kara mitzas aseba legamri. The Ran says we're stuck in a logical quagmire, a paradox. Says the Ran, this is our paradox. Our paradox is which one are you going to be makel on? We don't know which one to be makel on. Should you be makel on the first two or should you be makel on the last two? You can't be makel on both. Because that's not the Savik de Rabbanon. So just do a Seba on all four. We can't choose, so you do a Seba on all four. Now, there's an obvious question on this. But not only is it an obvious question in Svara, there's a Beferish Ran in Megillah that seems to be against us. Mamash Akasha Ran Al Ran. The Ran in Megillah, in the beginning of Megillah, has a simple solution to a similar case. First of all, could anybody think of a different way of solving the problem than the Ran's? Ran says we're stuck. It's a paradox. We're not sure if you do on this one or you do on this one. So therefore, you have to do on both. What's that? Yeah?
Just a question. What would happen if it wasn't so easy to do on four?
So according to the first shot, you'd be putter on the two of them.
Same shot saying, because you don't know, you do all four.
You have to do all four. That wouldn't make a difference. Right. Whether or not it's a tircha, correct. But there is a solution, Rabbi Osai. What's the solution? Do a seba on the first two. And now you're potter on the other two. Dainu. You're right. We're not sure which two you're supposed to do. But if you already did Haseba on the first two, now you get up to the next two. So now, are you Chayiv or are you not? The answer is it's a Safek. So on that Safek, you say Safek Durabban and Lakuma. So the Ran's teretz was sharp, but not entirely convincing. Because just do a save on the first two. Now you ask the Rav a Shaila, do I need to do a save? What should the Rav say? The Rav should say that you're Pater. Why are you Pater? Because you already did on the first two. The next two is a Safek. So you're Pater. So every night of Pesach, that's what you do. You do the first two. You ask the Shaila, and the answer is you're Pater. But not only is that a logical question, the Beferish ran against it. A Gishmak ran. It was big hot. Oh, wow, it started with your yeshiva. That people had said that, Rav Nevensal said to that in Beit Shemesh. In Shalavim, it was very, very easy just to hawk about it. But when I got the phone call, I was shaking. That Beit Shemesh, maybe you have to read Megillah on the 15th. Because there are a lot of archaeological digs around there that seem to have. So I'm not getting into sugya at all. Rav Nevensal, by the way, was very, very clear that they should do whatever the Rabbanim and Beit Shemesh paskin already. So that serves maybe calm down a little bit. But the Ran discusses what happens if you have a suffix. You have a suffix whether you're supposed to read on Yudalit or Tesvav. Tveria, the Gemara discusses, is a suffix. So the Ran on that sugya says, if you have a place that's a suffix, says the Ran, read on the 14th, and you're putter on the 15th because you already read on the 14th. On the night of the 15th, you go to the Rav, you ask the Rav a Shaila, and what does the Rav say? The Rav says, well, it's a Din D'Rabbanan, Mikra Megillah, Safek. Did you read on the, Rav asks you, did you read on the 14th? He said, yes. So he says, now it's a Safek, so you go Lakula. So it's Mamish, the world asks, the Mishnah Melech, it's not my question. The Mishnah Melech asks the Sira, that over here we say, Safek D'Rabbanan Lakula, yet, nevertheless, you have to drink all four. Yet, in the same, almost the same type of case, in Purim, we say that you do the first one. So do we. You do the first one. First, in this case, the first two. The exact same case at first glance. You hear, Rabbi Isai? You with me? Yeah? Shema. So, here's our revenge against the Nazis. The Kozhik Glover Rebbe, the Eretz Tzvi. It's in the group, in the chat. I said this over when Nativ Aryeh visited Poland about 10 years, when I went to the Talmud about 10 years ago, so we visited Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. And everybody talks about Ramir Shapiro. I feel very close to Ramir Shapiro as well. My grandfather is buried not far. Ramir Shapiro was interred here. He was buried in Europe, but he's, by the way, in Har Menuchos. You go visit him. And I'm lucky my grandfather's not too far from him, so I always stop by. I feel very close to Rav Meir Shapiro. Anybody who does Daf Yomi feels very close to Rav Meir Shapiro. But there was a big, big Talmud Chacham, a big tzaddik, who was the last Rosh Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. By the way, Rav Meir Shapiro died at age, in his 40s, I think even his early 40s. Heartbroken because the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin was deeply in debt. The next, he had actually come back. If there's ever any time someone comes to collect money for a worthy cause, just keep in mind that Ramir Shapiro, now think about how many tens of millions of dollars go into the Daf Yomi, the celebration just for the Daf Yomi for the Siyum HaShas. Ramir Shapiro in 1930 went to America to collect for Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, and he came back almost empty-handed, and he died of a heart attack a few days later. Next time someone comes to ask for something. So Rameir Shapiro was not the last Rosh Yeshiva Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. The last Rosh Yeshiva was known as the Kozhik Glover Rebbe. In fact, for those of you who know the YU library, 5A, where you have the Svarim, there's Reb Tzvi Hirsch Fromer. There's a picture of one of the benefactors was the Fromer family, and it was dedicated in the name of Tzvi Hirsch Fromer. He was the last Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin. He was a big, big tzaddik. He was known as the Kozhik Glover Rebbe. I later found that his pshat, also the Emek Bracha, one of the famous Talmidim of Briska Rav, also has the same pshat to answer this question. So his Torah goes on. He was the last Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin. He was killed by the Nazis, Al Kiddush Hashem. So we're repeating his Torah. Another great Kaddish was killed, his yard site was just a couple days ago, Rav Menachem Zemba, my oldest son. His name is Menachem, he's named after him. So, because Rav Menachem Zemba was killed right in the beginning of the Warsaw Uprising. The Warsaw Uprising started right about now, Pesach, on Pesach, it started on Pesach. So Kashrut Glover Rebbe in the Eretz Tzvi gives a very fascinating yisod, and you'll see why I'm saying this shot now. He says a very extreme lumbus, a fascinating lumbus. He says there's a fundamental difference between the suffix of Mikra Megillah and the suffix of the Dalet Kosef. He says the suffix of Mikra Megillah is a suffix that you have on the night of the 15th. Do you have to read the Megillah? And if you read on the 14th, so then you were Yotze. What do we call that? A suffix on the Gagla. He says, but when it comes to Dalet Kosos, there the suffix is in the Cheftza of the Kos. Does this Kos need Haseba? That's his Lashon. It's a suffix in the Kos. Does the Kos need Haseba? Does the Kos need Haseba? Masha ain't kind of seva, ain't a chovas gavra, rak chovas hakosos. The hakosos tunas a seva. It's a din in the kos itself that one needs to do a seva. So, when do we evoke the rule? Savik derabban and lekula, that we say, well, maybe you were already yotze, then in such a case, that's if you're coming and we want to know if you have a shayla to do a seva. Do you have a requirement to read the Megillah? That makes sense when it comes to Mikra Megillah. There you have a safek, so then we're able to be machria. Over here we have an objective question. An objective question, does this coast need a seva? Not do you need a seva. Does the coast need a seva? So there you can't say safek to Rabban and Lekulu, because on each coast it turns to the other coast. That was what the Ram was saying. He turns to the other coast and says, you're putter from a seva. And this coast says, you're putter from a seva. It's not a shayla in the gavra. A fascinating lumdish idea. It's a shayla in the coast. And if it's a shayla in the kos, so then you can't say something to Rabban Kula. Something to Rabban Kula only makes sense if you have an individual coming and he's asking whether he has a chiyu. But if you're judging the kos itself, then it's an entirely different rule. What a beautiful idea from the Eretz Tzvi. Rabbi Osai, when I saw this Eretz Tzvi before I went to Poland, I got all excited because this Eretz Tzvi is totally in the previous chakira. If we learn like the Rambam, now coming back to Rambam, we'll come back to the Machshav as well. If we learn like the Rambam, Lefichach, Kishisoyeh, when a person eats on Lel Pesach, he needs to do a Seba. And all of the dinim are a function of a person showing that he's Becherus. So then in such a case, of course, when it comes to a Seba, the Dalet Kosos, it's a Shaila in the Gavra, he's on Hoges Acherus. But if you hold like the Rush, once upon a time I also thought, the Tosis and the Tosis Rash will be told, but now we were Choser. But if you hold like the Rush, that the Halacha is that it's a din in the Matzah and it's in the Yayin, so then, in such a case, then it's a Shaila in the Chafetza Shel Mitzvah. At least there's room to say there's a Shaila in the Chafetza Mitzvah. There's no way you could say the Kashrut Glover's Heretz Bidas HaRambam. That's my main point. According to the Rambam, who says it's all about showing on the night of Pesach that you're Becherus, when does the halacha say that you need to show that you're a becheris? Does the halacha say you have to do it by the yayin, or is it just hareza meshubach? So the answer is, we have a safek. On that safek, the gavra comes along. Is it hareza meshubach or am I chayiv? So we say to him, well, the first two kosos you did a seban, you're potter. It's only hareza meshubach. But if we're talking about a question of whether it's part of the din of the Dalet Kosos and the Matzah, then there's room to go as far as the Kashrut Glover Rebbe. The Kashrut Glover Rebbe and the Emek Bracha went further than the Brisker Rav. The Emek Bracha went further than his Rebbe. The Emek Bracha was the Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He went further. Not only do we say it's a chelik of the Maisa Mitzvah, but it defines the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. It's not that when you do the Maisa Mitzvah, then you're supposed to do a Seba. It becomes part of the Cheftza of Matzah, the Cheftza of Yayin. That's the Kashrut Glover's Yisari. Oh, Rabbosai, let's appreciate this Rambam a little bit more. B'derech HaAvoda. But this also starts with the tradition that we have in Bris. This yisod that we have this mamish as a strong mesorah, Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu. This is a really, really strong mesorah that we have. And when you read the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, the depth of what the Rambam does here, you might not notice the first time around, but when you begin to, I heard this yisod from both Rav Branshfield and Rav Schechter 25, even close to 30 years ago. And every single year, the significance of this grows on me more and more and more and more. So I'm sharing with you the significance of this 26 years later. Here's the Messiah. Rav Soloveitchik told our Rabbein that he heard, now I'm not sure if he was at Rav Chaim Seder, or that he heard from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that at Rav Chaim Seder, how did Rav Chaim Seder start? What did he discuss in Magid? The Rav Chaim asked a fascinating question of the Shagas Aryeh. This in itself is worth more than $1 million. It's invaluable. When I was a kid, there was a MasterCard commercial where they showed different vacations, and then it ended priceless. This is something that's priceless. It's impossible to put a value to this. Rav Chaim started his Seder with the following kasha, the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh asked, what's the difference between the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? L'chura, all Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is an extension, is just Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim on turbo. Kol Amar Be'areza Meshubach, yeah, a Seder for it, but really it's just an extension of the mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yet the Rambam and the Chinuch both count it as mitzvahs bifnei atzma. So it could be it's very, very important, but it shouldn't be a separate mitzvah by itself. It should be an extension that on the night of Pesach there is a hiddur in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's counted. So there's a famous yisod. The world already knows this. It was printed in the stencils. The world, I don't think, says that this is how Reb Chaim started his sefer. But the more and more you read it in the Rambam, it's amazing how Reb Chaim read this Rambam. There are three random halachos in Arvei Psachim that all of them, the Rambam put together in Perek Shvi of Chametz Umatzah, and he begins, Mitzvah Asei Shel Torah L'Saper B'Nisim V'Niflo Shenasa V'Seim B'Mitzrayim. And the Rambam's answer explicitly answers this question, Reb Chaim said, that the Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not different than Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in quantity, quantitatively, but it's different qualitatively. That's an entirely different mitzvah. And the famous Yisoid that Reb Chaim said is that if you read the Rambam says, mitzvah lo di'a lebonim, the Rambam talks about v'igadita levincha, and it has to be done b'derach shelo u'tshuva. It has to be done with question and answers. And the Rambam emphasized, that's why we do shinuyim on that laila. Then there's another random halacha that the Gemara says from Shmuel, maschul b'gnus v'sayim b'shevach, that you have to start from the gnus of Klal Yisrael. That also makes Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim unique. That Reb Chaim pointed out as a second chiluk. And the third is that the Rambam goes on to say that you need to have Pesach Matzah Umarar. And so that's the famous yisoid that they have in the stencils. That Reb Chaim said that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is qualitatively different because it's Bederach Sheva Uchuva, because it's Aspel B'Gnus V'Sayim B'Shevach, and also it's B'Shosh Yesh Matzah Umarar. Halavai Mir Tzashem shortly, B'Shosh Sheish Pesach Matzah Umarar Munachim Lefanecha. I think Rav Soloveitchik said this, maybe Rabbi Braunschweig will develop this more, but 2 points Rabbi Braunschweig added. Number one is that this is not just random distinctions. There's a fundamental difference between Zechira and Sipur, that Sipur is done v'higadita levincha. And these three distinctions, Emir Tzashem, all of you, I hope one day, are going to become teachers of Torah, whether you become formal teachers of Torah, or whether you're informal teachers of Torah, Emir Tzashem, all of you are going to be teachers of Torah to your children, that these three things are permeate v'higadita levincha. In other words, you can't preach to your children. It has to be done b'derech shela u'tshuva. There has to be a give and take between father and son. And don't be scared of your children's questions. When your children are asking questions, that's a good sign. That's number one. Number two is maskel b'gnus v'sayim b'shevach. It's not just halachos, but it's a drama. the Jewish people, it's not a coincidence that I threw in over here stories about the Holocaust in a Shir Halacha. Because all of Torah is a drama. It's the drama of the Jewish people. All of Torah is the drama of the Jewish people. And therefore, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just something that dry facts, but it has the drama of Maskil B'Gnus V'Sayim B'Shevach. And everybody knows that if you're going to come into a classroom of fourth graders and you're just going to read a text to them, they're going to get burnt out pretty quickly. What do children want? They want a story. And we all do. We all want stories. That's number two. That's Maskil B'Gnus V'Sayim B'Shevach. Number three is B'Shash Eishpatzel Mar Menachem L'Fanecha is props. And the Seder, the Chachmasa, Rabbi Brashu actually wrote his master thesis on this idea, the three features of Lel Pesach as being the paradigms and the foundations of Jewish education. It's not about learning facts, but it's these three things. It's a dialectic of Shelu Tshuva. It is a drama of Maskil B'Gnus V'Sayim B'Shevach, and it's also to engage children in very tangible, concrete things, and that's the Shashesh Matzah Maru B'Nach L'Fanecha. And how did that lead? That all led into that Cheirus. But what does the Rambam say right before? If a person does that, then a person can visualize himself, they went out of Tzrayim, and then he could be B'Cheirus. So Haseba is not just simply a Stam Halacha, it's a result of all of these, this experience of Vihigadeta Levincha. That's a famous Yisrael. That in itself is priceless. But here's the Avodah Rabbosah. You know what hit me this year? The other part of the mitzvah. Everybody talks about, that's what makes Pesach unique. So we just finished the Seder. You guys, mamish, just finished. It's just a day old. For me, it's like ages ago already. But you guys, just a short time ago, you finished the Seder. So that we did it. We did the best we can. You guys prepared. V'chula, you did the best that you can. And you move on. Start thinking about summer's man. Start thinking about next year. Time to move on. But Rosai, what dawned on me is something amazing. Every single day, twice a day, the mitzvah continues. The mitzvah is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. I want to think a little bit more about that mitzvah for a moment. That mitzvah, what Reb Chaim taught us, is an entirely different mitzvah. You don't discuss it with others. There's no mitzvah of Sipur. There's no mitzvah of Higadta Levincha. You do it twice a day. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked, a person that's not mechaving in Kriyat Shema, if I recall correctly, I saw this years ago, a person wasn't mechaving correctly in Kriyat Shema, Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisi Eschem, he has to say Kriyat Shema again. At least he has to say, possible. There's a mitzvah, we often forget about this. There's a mitzvah twice a day to remember Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It might not be Chayav Adam Liros Esatzma or Laharos Esatzma, but we need to be Mechazik ourselves. So in of itself, just recognize that what you did on Lil Pesach is supposed to turbo you, it's supposed to give you enough gas for twice a day for 354 days a year, until the next Pesach. And every day, we have a mitzvah to really, really remember. It's Yisodos HaEmunah. I'm not going to repeat the Yisodos HaEmunah. Many of you know them. We can discuss them. But twice a day. You know what the lesson of this is? The lesson is that every single thing that we try to convey to the world, every single message that we as a Mamleches Kayanim V'Goy Kadosh represent, that we project to the entire world. This year it was a sugya of Ushmartim Es Nafsho Seichem. But every year there's a sugya. Every year there's a certain message. You know how much you have to ingrain inside of yourself before you're able to project it? Some of you are going to be counselors this summer. The most important part in being a good father, a good counselor, a good Rebbe, has nothing to do with the Vihigadeta Levincha. For every single message that you say to somebody else, you have to remember yourself 354 times two. And that we forget about. That we forget about. We forget about that the most effective form of Vihigadeta Levincha is what we ourselves become of that message. what we ourselves do, the zechira that we do to fortify ourselves. And anything that we would like to share to others, we have to do. 354, was that 708? Is that it? We have to be mechazik for ourselves. Someone could work on a gematria for that. For 708 times more than the message that we give. In other words, if you want to teach your camper what it means, the chashivas of learning a Mishnah a day, then you have to be mechazik yourself 708 times more than the message that you're going to give. If you want to share with your campers what it means to be a caring and thoughtful person, then you have to be mechazik yourself 708 times more for yourself. Because you know what the truth is? Think about the most powerful role models in your life. The most powerful role models of your life never really told you those things directly. It's what they were and who they were. It's the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that creates the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and not the opposite. But Pesach, because of all of its glory, because all of its Shira and so on, that's what it gets. It gets all the stars. It gets all the lightning and thunder. It gets all of everybody's attention. But that quiet, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Where's my Emunah? Where's my emunah? Do I work on my emunah? Do I think what it means, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do I think what Yetzirah Mitzrayim, as the Ramban describes, what that means? The Ramban describing that every single part of our lives is a neis goluy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do I spend time thinking about that? We're sitting and we're learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael in Shnas Tav Shin Pei Aleph. If you would have told your great-grandfather, your great-grandmother, that you'd be sitting in Eretz Yisrael learning Ish al tachas gifno, all the brachos that we have, it's a massive miracle. Our entire lives are an amazing, amazing miracle. But we don't think about that enough. And that's what we have a mitzvah twice a day to think about. All of the miracles in our lives. If we want to share HaKadosh Baruch Hu with other people, we have to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu truly, truly part of our day in and day out. Siyata d'shmaya, we should be zochet to be mekayim zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim and be able to be marbitz Torah and be mekadei shem shemayim. Not only in Eretz Yisrael, to all four corners in the world, and be'ezer Hashem bekabetz nidachenu me'arba tanfas ha'aretz, to be able to bring everybody back to Yerushalayim to celebrate the binyanim. Siyata d'shmaya. It's great to see you. Great to see you.